Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for Frank Gaffney, who is off today. Joining me now is the director of Jihad Watch and weekly columnist for PJ Media and Front Page Magazine. He's a good friend of Secure Freedom Radio, Robert Spencer. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here, Kyle. Thank you.
I want to talk to you a little bit about something that is near and dear to us here on Secure Freedom Radio, and that's free speech. I know you're a strong advocate for free speech, particularly in the conflict with Islamic supremacism and Islamic blasphemy laws that we're seeing really being pushed now in all manner of international forum, and most especially in Europe. And you've been working very hard to draw people's attention to this. And I was hoping you could talk to me a little bit about your recent film, Can't We Talk About This? The Islamic Jihad Against Free Speech. Well, Robert, can we talk about it?
No, actually not. And the fact is that that's a quote, Kyle, from Theo van Gogh, the Dutch filmmaker who was murdered on the street in the middle of the day in Amsterdam in 2004 for the crime of criticizing the plight of Muslim women under Islamic law. And he was, of course, murdered by an Islamic jihadi who stabbed a knife into his body with a note explaining why he had done it and adding a hit list of future targets. The incident was emblematic of what's going on in the West, all over the Western world nowadays, and that is that in the face of violent threats and intimidation, we are being silenced, and the West is willingly adopting, essentially, what are Sharia blasphemy laws that forbid criticism of Islam in the face of this violent bullying. You know, back in fifth grade, we learned that the best way to deal with a bully was to stand up to him, but now the whole world seems to have forgotten that, and everyone is giving in to the bully. So that, for example, of course, in 2015, Pamela Geller and I did an event in Texas of drawing Muhammad that was designed not simply to gratuitously insult anyone or offend their religious sensibilities, but to stand up for the freedom of speech in the face of the fact that in January 2015, the Islamic jihadis in Paris murdered the Charlie Hebdo cartoonist for the crime of drawing Muhammad. When people tell you they're going to kill you for drawing Muhammad, you either have to draw Muhammad or you have to surrender. But there really isn't any other choice. You can ignore the fact that the choice has been presented, but ultimately you're going to have to come down on one side or the other. So we were showing we were not going to give in to violent intimidation and we're going to stand. Of course, that event was attacked by Islamic jihadis. And in the wake of it, what I think was most jarring is that Geller was criticized by people on the left and the right who have all internalized the idea since the killing of Van Gogh and so many other incidents. They've internalized the notion that you just don't criticize Islam. You don't offend Muslims in regard to Muhammad. And this is Sharia. This is Islamic law. This is not a society that values the freedom of speech and the principle, I may object to what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Free speech is the foundation of a free society. And in this film, we show that it's being rapidly eroded in the face of an organized Islamic effort to impose these Sharia blasphemy restrictions upon the West.
You know, Robert, I think you make a really good point when you raise the issue of how people treated Pamela following that event in Garland. Of course, there's sort of a dichotomy there because on the one hand, we saw that violent jihadis who try to take away our speech, we have a way of dealing with them. But the sort of media and talking heads who jump into these situations and say, no, just shut up and everything will be fine, they're actually more difficult to deal with. And even more difficult still is the law enforcement and the government officials who, after these incidents, move in to crack down against people, for example, complaining about the Manchester bombing in England, making arrests for what people say on Twitter. Those bullies are actually harder to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that's a concerted effort. Just this morning at Jihad Watch, my website, which is, of course, a news and commentary site tracking jihad activity, I put up a story from the Daily Mail, the UK paper, explaining how a group of Muslims on the street and outside a church in London started to play very loud recordings of explosions while screaming Allahu Akbar. And it was interesting to note that somebody said, this is sort of commonplace nowadays in East London, which is, of course, a largely Muslim area. And the Met Police was not aware of the incident. And I think the Met Police has announced that they're going to crack down hard on what they call online hate speech and Islamophobia. But here's somebody directly engaging in terrorist intimidation, and they don't even know what's going on. And the Daily Mail, very tellingly also, has had an announcement at the end of the article. Comments are being moderated in advance on this article. In other words, they don't want people start to talk about Islam and Muslims and the larger problem that this incident embodies. They wanted to keep a very tight lid on what was said about this incident and what its implications are. And this is a pattern all over the West that we're censoring ourselves, and there's increasing censorship from authorities preventing honest discussion of the nature and magnitude of the jihad threat.
And I think the nature and magnitude of that threat is in part really why the law enforcement turns against, you know, their own population, who are frankly law-abiding and therefore easier to deal with. And the notion being cracking down on jihadis among the population is difficult. Cracking down against grandmothers and cartoonists is relatively easy. And so why not focus on the easy problem rather than deal with the messy problem?
Yeah, that's a very good point. But of course, it's ultimately suicidal, because if they're going to continue to crack down on people who are calling attention to the threat or venting their frustration over the authorities' supine reaction to the threat, then the threat itself is going to continue to advance, and it's only going to get worse. And these are people who have vowed to conquer. And so do British authorities really think if they forbid people from talking about this and are tougher against people who do talk about it than against people who actually act upon the threat itself, that it's going to go away? Well, they're going to be rudely surprised.
And of course, the only real solution here is to talk about it. These issues have to be raised so that there are forums where people can discuss these issues. But there's a strong effort, both in Europe and here in the United States, to so-called deplatform people. We saw an effort, for example, with the Southern Poverty Law Center, where they have used that hate list as an excuse to remove people from their internet providers. Have you guys faced anything like that at Jihad Watch so far?
Very much so, Kyle. Just yesterday, I got notice. Somebody wrote me saying, I could not put your material up at Pinterest. Now, I don't know anything about Pinterest. I know it's some sort of a photo site. So photos not being the main focus of my work, I've never really paid any attention to it. But apparently people were taking some of the material that I put up at Jihad Watch and posting it at Pinterest until yesterday, when they got notice that they were not allowed to do this because it was hate speech. And this follows, of course, PayPal banning Jihad Watch for a brief period until an outcry made them restore it. Meanwhile, Facebook and Twitter have used various algorithms to choke off 90% of the referrals from each to Jihad Watch. And it's all based on the Southern Poverty Law Center's false claim that we are engaging in hate. The catch is that everyone who speaks about the jihad threat in any honest manner is accused of hate speech by this organization, which, of course, has refused to add Antifa or any leftist hate group to its list. It has come under a good deal of quite justified criticism for trying to smear honest conservative groups that are perfectly legitimate, are not advocating violence or hatred, but are merely calling attention to genuine threats that are outside the leftist agenda, and trying to defame them and marginalize and destroy them by lumping them in with real hate groups like the Klan and neo-Nazis and so on.
Well, Robert, we certainly appreciate what you're doing on the front line of this battle. And make no mistake, folks, free speech is ultimately the front line of this battle, this counter-jihad, because without free speech, we cannot deal with the rest of these problems. Robert, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Fred Flights of the Center for Security Policy. Stay tuned, just a moment.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.